Yo, 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 how's everybody doing? Keith Ferrante here. Just wanting to chat a little bit about kings. Kings and what a kingdom king looks like. What a kingdom king. What's a king anyways? I would coin a king in the modern day, a CEO, a president, a prime minister, a leader of of something strategic. And I want to talk about kings because I work with a variety of kings. I work with CEOs and people in government and people of influence. And something that I found that what I am good at seeing is what is in the kings that is not supposed to be there, and what needs to be put in there, and what is good in a king, someone that God has given a kingly authority. What's a kingly authority? It's a domain that they rule in. Every king has a domain. They have a realm that God has given them to steward. Whether it's a company, whether it's a part of an industry, whether it is a nation, whether it's a city. Like God has given kings authority, and in scripture it says, pray for kings, pray for the kings, pray for people in government, pray for people in authority, that you may live peaceable lives. So all throughout scripture, prophets and advisors spoken to kings, and those that listened to the advisors did well. From In amongst many advisors and in council, amongst numbers of council, strategy for war is waged. And as Proverbs talks about counsel and the wisdom of counsel and the wisdom of being teachable. But I was just thinking about David. David is such a good example. He's got some strengths. He's got some weaknesses as a king, as every king has, as every human has, every person has. I have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. But you know what? We want to work on those as a person of influence, so we can get the job done more effectively and build God's kingdom. We want to be, he's the King of Kings. So if we're going to be someone that has a domain that we rule in, and we want to do it his way. Obviously, Jesus modeled what a king looks like. He walked in humility. He walked in a servant's heart. So one of the attributes of a powerful king that's modeled after Jesus is they have a servant's heart. They're like, he who is the greatest must serve. So if you have great authority, Paul talked to people that were rich in scripture and said, hey, if you're rich, make sure you're humble. Be humble. And be willing to share. Now, I'm not speaking this from a pastoral kind of perspective, and oftentimes we hear from a church perspective, you need to share, King, you have so much money, we need your money. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about sharing for the sake of someone needing it. I'm talking about the sharing for the sake of you as a king giving out. It's good for you to give out to those that are in need, because oftentimes as a king, you have found your way forward with hard work, with a skill set, with a cutthroatness, with a power, just warring against people trying to take you down, and you have learned and you've built authority. You're a warrior. You go out to war. So sometimes it's like, nah, I ain't gonna give to that person. They don't deserve it. They haven't worked for it, or I can see their glitches. I can see their weaknesses. And scripture says it's good to be generous as a king, because it's part of humility. So sometimes it's just good for us to give to people that we can't tally up in our head, they've done this plus this, so they deserve this. Sometimes it's good to give to someone that we know they have not matched our code of hard work and all those kind of things. Like we should be generous. And it just keeps us in this place of reminding ourselves, hey, I used to be in a spot where I wasn't doing all the right things, and God reached out to me and God loved me. Scripture says, be merciful to the merciful, or, be merciful to those who need mercy. And so it's good for us as kings, and as kings, for you as a king, it's one of the attributes that David had in him. He had a servant's heart. Of course, Jesus, the ultimate model of a king, the King of Kings. But David had a heart to serve, and he served the poor. He created everyone in his world was taken care of financially. He really was generous, even to the previous king Saul's successors. He was generous to Saul's some of Saul's. You know, he could find anyone from Saul's family. He wanted to bless them, and he wanted to, you know, provide for them, and he created a place for them at the king's table, and David was very generous that way. He honored, he served. He was a servant. He was kind to the poor, and the people in his world were taken care of. Good kings take care of the people in their domain, in their realm, in their company, in their nation, in their city, in their realm of influence, that people around them are blessed. They're like David, when David brought the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, to Jerusalem, then he gave everyone these raisin cakes and this food and sent everyone home. It's like everyone was blessed. Everyone should be blessed. And even his son walked in that same arena. It said everyone was taken care of in under Solomon as well. And that's an amazing, like, is there an ecosystem that you create as a king that everyone is blessed? And that's going to come by you remembering the humility. Like David, God brought David from the sheep and the 30, you know, the 30 sheep that he took care of, whoever it was, the few, maybe it was a few hundred, I don't know, but it was like he was taking care of the sheep, and he was, you know, he would war against the, you know, the lions and the bears. And then God took him all the way to ruling a nation, God's nation, Israel, God's chosen covenant people. And, He, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. And so you got to remember humble beginnings. It's good to remember humble beginnings, because sometimes as a king, we forget them. Sometimes when we come out of poverty, David had to come out of being misunderstood. His brothers didn't, you know, they were trying to push him down. His father didn't even recognize him when they brought the national prophet there, Samuel. They didn't even bring David at first. There's a scripture, I think, in Psalms 51 that says, David, I was born in sin. So some say that means he was probably born maybe illegitimately out of wedlock to someone that wasn't recognized as one of the mothers that wasn't recognized. So he had a humble beginning. He had an illegitimacy, but he had a heart after God. He loved, God found him, says, you know what? This is a man after my own heart. We want to be a king that's after God's own heart. There's a lot of kings that I work with that have the name Jesus. They put the name Christian over what they do, but they don't. They're not after God's own heart. That's different. There's a sweetness. And you notice King David, he was powerful. He was a warrior, and it takes a warrior spirit to be an entrepreneur king, to rule a nation, to be a big CEO, to take territory. It takes that warring spirit, that ability to take territory, the ability not to quit, the ability to fight, the ability to go out there and lead the way. David would led the way for many years. He was a warrior. He knew how to fight. He took giants way bigger than him. If you're a successful king, you've taken on daunting tasks, and you have a resilient spirit that overcomes those things. That's awesome. That's amazing. But can you also be a man after God's own heart? And can you also be a man of humility and a servant heart and a kind to the poor? When Daniel was giving King Nebuchadnezzar, who had so much authority as a king, he was, you know, at that time, Israel was even, you know, in his leadership, and so many other nations. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had this issue. It's like, hey, I'm king. You got to all worship me. You got to all bow down to the idol. And Daniel, you know, had a talk with them in one of those warning times, and is like, King, if you will be kind to the poor and you'll be merciful, then God may extend your reign, and you won't have to go through a 7-year disciplinary process. Nebuchadnezzar could not get out of that high, lofty, kingly, I'm the king, I got here. He couldn't get into that place of humility. So what did God have to do? God had to say, hey, I want to remind you, I'm the King of Kings. Bang, put him at the bottom. And Nebuchadnezzar took 7 years until he looked up and said, you're the king. You're the King of Kings. You put people up. You lower them. I remember it in one of the political as one of the presidents became president and a lot of Christians were devastated, God spoke to me during that time and I was worshiping him. I was in this high praise. I was playing my keyboard and I was just really, I was encountering the Lord. And the Lord was like, Keith, I'm the King of Kings. No king on the earth is a big deal to me. I elevate and I remove in a second. I'm not impressed. Do not let yourself get into this place where you think the king is the big deal. We need to know that if there's kings that we're like, oh my word, why are they a king? Why are they a president? Why are they a prime minister? Why are they a big CEO? Why are they an industry leader? Okay, God can remove them in a second. But we also need to remember, if we are one of those kings, to keep in that place of humility, to keep in that place of remembrance, of kindness to the poor, and keeping our heart after God's own heart. If we'll be kind to the poor, if we'll stay, keep a servant's heart as a leader, as Jesus was the greatest king. He was so powerful. He was the lion, but then he was the lamb. So how do you hold lion and lamb? Like, as a king, you got to hold both, lion and lamb. You got to learn to hold both. You got to learn to hold that powerful. This is time to go to war. It's time to say no. This is time to push back on resistance. This is time to advance entrepreneurship and marketing and sales and expand the business, expand the company, take territory for the country, for the city, for the region, whatever God's given you. But then humility, servant's heart, a man after God's own heart. Here David was a conqueror. He came at Goliath, this ginormous giant of a person that everyone else was afraid of. And he chopped him down with a slingshot and then took off his head with a sword. He had no problem with dealing with enemies because he had learned how to take out lions and bears. Guys, there's such a political correctness sometimes in our culture that people don't realize. Like scripture says, even Paul says, hey, be careful about governing authorities. They wield the sword. They wield the sword against those who are rebellious. Like, so submit yourself, do what's right, and you'll be blessed. But there's a sword that in people in that level of kingly authority have to wield at times. I think, you know, when God gives you a sword to wield, whatever it is, there's a power that you have to advance things. You can cut things off. You can cut people off. You can deal with things that are coming against you. There's a time to war. But then we got to know when to be that man after God's own heart, that woman after God's own heart. There's this humility that has to happen to be that man after God's own heart. Here, David is this powerful warrior. Kings are warriors, but then he's this powerful worshiper. Are you as a king a worshiper? Sometimes as kings, we don't know how to worship. Worship removes keeps us humble as a king and reminds us that he's the king of us, the king of kings. David was able to dance and jump around and go wild. And his wife, who was the daughter of a previous king, Saul, Michal, she's like, oh, look at you, making yourself look vulgar in front of the servant girls. You look disgusting. She was disgusting. David's like, no, I'll become even more undignified than this, and I will be held in esteem by the servants. You know what he was saying? It's like, you know what? I'm going to become more undignified before my king. I'm defeated before him. You know what he was doing? In that extravagant worship as the ark would come into Jerusalem and David was dancing mightily with all his heart, with all his might, and he stripped himself down. Maybe he was completely naked. I don't know. But do you know what he was doing? Back in those days, whenever a king would defeat another king, they would parade the defeated king in front of them, in front of their chariot, in front of their entourage as they came into town, which in chains, they'd make him, you know, humiliate him in front of everybody to show that he's defeated. That's what David was doing. He was saying, you know what, as I come into Jerusalem with the King of Kings, I'm showing that I'm defeated before him. He's the King of Kings. I am not in this moment. David that ruled Israel, if you rule a nation, if you rule a company, if you rule an industry, if you have a powerful leadership, a powerful voice that others listen to, listen, if you want to be a man after God's own heart, a king that God honors, that king that has an eternal reward that's going to have something of his kingdom for eternity, then you have to worship like crazy. You got to remind yourself you're not so much on your throne that, oh, you know what, I'm dignified. I cannot reduce myself in front of these people.
I cannot go extravagant because I am somebody that people respect.
No, in that moment, you fall on your face, because if not, that's pride that God will deal with eventually. You want to be a man after God's own heart that has a legacy as a king. A legacy that you can be proud of. A legacy that God will protect. Remember David, the Lord says, hey, you know what? I'm going to protect your legacy, David. Because you're a man after my heart. I'm going to protect. How many of you want to have your kingdom endure? How many want to have what you're building on this earth endure in business, in politics, in government, in a realm of influence, even as a powerful spiritual leader? Like, do you want to have that endure? Then you got to be a man after God's own heart, a crazy worshiper. And I don't have to all look the same, but are you like unashamed, undignified before the Lord, willing to be a servant, to serve the people around you as a powerful leader? Then you demonstrate servant. Jesus, knowing that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and everything was under him, then put on the servant's clothes and washed his disciples' feet. So King, he knew he was king. He wasn't like, I'm a wimp. I'm getting ready to get run over. I might as well serve people because I'm loyal. No, I'm the King of Kings and I'm going to serve the ones. And he said, this way, you serve as well. So guys, Jesus was talking as a king. David was a king. He was a person of authority. God wants to raise up kingdom kings, because we're a kingdom of priests, or kings and priests, 1 Peter says, to declare his praises, the one who called us out of darkness into light. Like, we're there to declare the praises of God. When he gives you a kingdom, when he gives you a leadership, do you go to the top of that? Do you rule, do you reign in your kingdom, in your domain, and give Jesus glory? Do you make Jesus famous in that domain? Or do you go, oh, you know what? We got to be subtle about Jesus. We can't really, you know what? I've got to kind of, you know, create this persona that people will want to be around, because they don't want to be around someone that's radical about Jesus. You know what, guys? I've seen the world's powerful leaders in so many arenas that have made Jesus Lord, and God's blessed them. Sports athletes that are the top of the line acknowledging Jesus in a crazy way. God will bless that. When you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before the angels, and I will acknowledge you before the Father in heaven, Jesus said. Are you going to acknowledge him? That means go crazy about him, love him. He's everything. Dance like dignified before him. Kings do that. Kings are servants. Kings are warriors. Kings are worshipers. If you're following the pattern of David. Kings love family. Now, David loved family, but this is a struggle for kings. This is a struggle because kings get so focused on the territory they have to take and hold and protect and expand, and the entrepreneur world, the government world, like expanding the country, expanding the economy, expanding the finances. And sometimes I've worked with lots of kings that have left their families in the dust. Their kids are disastrously wounded, father wounds. And maybe they become a big father pleaser. They're trying to please their dad. They're trying to please him. They're trying to be as big of an entrepreneur as he is. They're trying to be as big of a government leader as he is, as big as an influencer as he is. It's like, no, a father. It takes a father's servant heart. It's in family, you got to come down to that servant place. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I want you to be what you're supposed to be. I bless your joy in this area, your joy. And I want to spend time with you how you need to spend time. I want to, you know, I've been with like powerful entrepreneurs that are like, you know what? I give my kids everything. I give my spouse everything. And they don't want everything to do with me. I said, because they don't want your stuff. They want you. They want quality time. They want to feel valued in what's important to them. And so there's time where we want our kids to follow in the legacy. That's great. There's an inheritance that our kids, if they should want. But then we should have such a father's heart for them and a mother's heart for them that it's like, hey, I'm here for you. I'm spending quality time. You know what? I'm taking on the world, but I'm spending time with you. I love this movie, Imagine That by Eddie Murphy. It was a good children's movie. And Eddie Murphy, he's trying to get into this high position. And in this company, and he's competing with this other guy, and he's doing really well, and he's using the supernatural to get there. And right, and, but he's learning along the way to value his family, which he wasn't at first. And he, and eventually, it was like a final test. Like before he was going to get offered this, the, you know, company position to take over the company, he, it was either do this company thing right then that the big boss wanted, or focus on his daughter. And he chose the daughter. And he said, hey, you know what? I can't go. I got to be with my daughter. And you know what? The company guy that was going to pick between him and one other guy said, you know what? I pick you. Why? Because you're the only one that's ever told me no. Only one that's not done what I asked. And I respect that, that you went after your family and you made your family a priority. So much of what I do with Kings is help them prioritize family. Because you know what, guys? In the long run, you look at David. David had some good success, Solomon. And you look in Proverbs, at the beginning of Solomon, at the beginning of Proverbs, Solomon is talking. It's like, hey, when I was a child, and my father said, get wisdom. My mother said this. Like, so Solomon was like, he got time with dad. He got time with mom, Bathsheba and David, and he got some wisdom given him. So David like helped, knew that Solomon would be the one. But then there was other ones, Adonijah, Absalom, that David had these handsome men. And it says about Adonijah, David never asked him why he did what he did in the wrong. What the wrong things he did, why he did that. Why are you doing that? That ain't right. He never confronted him. And what did Adonijah do? He tried to steal the kingdom. He ended up getting killed by Solomon. What did Absalom do? Steal the kingdom. Steal David's kingdom. And what happened? He got killed. Like, so David was following his mentor, Samuel. Samuel was David's mentor. Samuel was a national leader as a prophet. And Samuel had two sons that were not pure, because Samuel had the same model. And because Samuel was following Eli. Eli was Samuel's mentor. And Eli had two wicked sons that ended up getting killed. And then Eli, they all died on the same day. God picked Samuel. Samuel was a man after God's own heart. So like Eli helped Samuel become a righteous successor. Samuel helped David become a righteous successor, but they didn't raise up their own succession plan in their own families. Oftentimes, kings will be so focused on their business successor, their political successors, the people that they want to spend time with. This is important. Do you realize this is national issues? Do you realize this is important? This has to do with lots of money. This is for your benefit, family, that I'm doing this. I need to be away from my family. I need to go here. I need to do this. I need to do that. And what happens are kids going this way, going that way. And God's so good, he can redeem all things. I've seen God redeem the families, but it's sometimes a shift. If you want to be a king that is after God's own heart, you got to focus on family. Why? Because family is one of the biggest, most pressing issues right now in the world that the enemy is messing with. He's trying to change original design. The word for principality is original design. Principality is trying to change original design for a male and female. And how do you avoid your own family going off on the deep end and sexual immorality and sexual confusion and all that as a king? You got to focus on your family. You know, because when you focus on your family, you can help speak identity in your children and help continually seeing the little confusions they have and speaking, help them get over it and connect with them. And so this is one of those big things that kings need to be aware of. I spend so much time helping kings focus on their family. And even more than that, on their spouse. If you want to be someone that's after God's own heart, you got to learn to prioritize your spouse. Male, you have a lady. Ladies, you have a man. And there ain't no male to male, female to female. Sorry, that ain't God's design. That's the enemy's perversion. But you gotta focus on your spouse, not your kids more than your spouse. You got your spouse first, then your kids. And you know why this is so important? If you don't focus on your spouse, the spouse creates all sorts of problems. You don't get the best discernment that you need to help you not make stupid choices as a CEO, as a government leader, as an industry leader. You're the one that walks with you in one as one flesh, that you're intimate with sexually, that you're intimate with in sharing everything. That person has the most discernment to help you and see who's trying to hurt you. It took me a lot of years to learn this, but I've learned that my wife actually wants to keep me from doing stupid things, making stupid choices, saying stupid things that'll hurt my favor. She wants to keep me from getting into partnership with bad people that are like have deceptive motives. Well, I see so oftentimes people, CEOs, kings, and they have the makings of success right there, but they're at war with their spouse. Why? Because they're not spending time with their spouse. They're not filling their spouse's love tank up, meeting their needs, taking care of their kids. And if you're not taking care of your kids, it's going to be hard for your spouse. You know, when you love your kids, it warms your spouse's heart. And so, you know, sometimes as a king, we can be like harsh to our kids because we're tired, we're doing all this stuff, and then we're harsh to our kids or harsh to our spouse, and we crush their spirit, and we crush the kid's spirit, and that hurts the spouse, that hurts our wife. So it's like this whole thing, it's like having a godly marriage, having a godly, parent raising kids well. This is a challenge for kings because they're good at making money, they're good at advancing, they're good at leadership, but... You know, in scripture, it says if you're going to actually oversee in a church context, you have to be good at family. Your kids have to, have respect for you. Now, God, like I said, God can work all things for good. So you're older and your kids are a bit of a disaster right now. God can restore all of that as you begin to change your priorities and prioritize the right things. Because this is how his kingdom is built. God's kingdom is built around family. God's kingdom is by nature family. It's a father and a son. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's this union, three in one, and husbands and wives as a picture of Christ in the church. Like there's so many parables in scripture with family and God and the connection point. And so as you put family as a priority in your company and in your governance and the place that you govern, you know what God's going to do? Everything that you have dominion over, that you rule over, they're going to have the benefits. I notice that when the CEO, the leader of a company or a government, when they learn to love their spouse well and really listen to them and love their kids well and really do well there, then everyone under them gets blessed. But when it's off, when the priority's off with the lead person, the CEO, the king, whoever that is. When the priorities are off and he's overly focused on his work and on advancing what he's doing, then the staff members, they have struggles. Then there's oftentimes that God wants a king to have purity. God, one of the values is purity. And David was a man after God's own heart. He had a couple impure moments, but he got it back on track. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. God values as a king purity. But when your values are off, maybe you're not focused on your spouse and your kids. What happens? You have needs as a leader. And eventually they pop up and you start getting those needs met in unhealthy ways through addiction, through illicit affairs, all sorts of things. Loneliness drives you to someone that you shouldn't be with, that's outside of your family. And what happens? That leaks into your company. That leaks into the world around you. Everything around you is impure. Everything around you has the defilement in it. It's maybe there's a few exceptions, but your whole culture is now not kingdom. And you might be like, I love Jesus. Yeah, well, you can love Jesus, but you have to have the radical love for Jesus. Then the radical love for family, for your spouse, for your, you know, it's like it's first Jesus. Jesus first, then your spouse, then your kids, then your kingdom purpose and your company and the realm that you lead. That's number five. Guys, you realize the priority of your life should not be first business and a dominion and all that. It should be first family. To be first the Lord, then the family, then the spouse, then the kids. There's an order that God sets up if you want to have something that's lasting for the kingdom of God. Because at the end of your days, guys, 100%, when your kids don't want to have anything to do with you, no kingdom, no dominion that you have will ever make you happy. I've been with leaders who they've so screwed it up and they're trying to serve God, but they got this girlfriend and then another girlfriend, and they've been divorced 3-4 times, and they, you know, their kids are mangled and this and that, and you know, like money just accentuates the problem. So money does not heal wealthy kids, you know, that their parents were wealthy. It doesn't heal their heart. It just increases the damage. And so family is super important. Having a servant's heart is super important. Loving Jesus with all your heart is super important. Loving your spouse with all your heart is, you know, loving your spouse 100%, focusing on her or him is great. Like being pure, the purity, the wisdom of God is first of all, pure than peace loving. And we see these things in the life of David. Sometimes he was strong in them. Sometimes he was not as strong in them. And so I just want to pray blessings over you as a king, as someone that has a realm that you lead in, that God would just meet you and where things are out of order, you would get those things would begin to come back in order. I just pray the grace of God over you, the grace of God to begin to build with his kingdom pillars, the way he wants this to be built. And guys, if you build the way God wants you to build, you will have a legacy that you can be proud of. You will have, you will have a long-term impact that you can be, that will endure. And you will have something that is eternally, that you have eternal rewards, not just earthly, you know, rewards. And you won't just be known on earth, you'll be known in heaven too. That's what we're after. So I just pray grace on you guys. And have an amazing day. Love to connect with any of you kings that want to connect, want to go to the next level, and you realize, hey, I need some help getting these foundations the right way. I need someone that really understands me to help me go get to that healthy kingdom foundation. If that's you, just reach out to me, send me a note. You can go to increasewithkeith.com and see what we're doing. So love you guys. Having a good one. Have a good stepping into the new year. Bless you guys.